Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with you to talk about our most recent exit interview. And actually, not just to talk about it, we're actually going to do it here on the Exit Interview Podcast. We've got the most recently voted out Survivor castaway calling in here in just a moment. That would be Molly Byman. She is the first person voted out of the Vokai tribe. We'll talk about everything that happened in the second, I thought, very fun episode of Survivor Island of the Idols. I got the chance to talk about it last night with Stephen Fishback, and I thought it was really great to be back on the Know-It-Alls with Stephen. I thought he was in rare form, really excited to go. It's amazing what a couple months off from talking about Survivor will do for Stephen Fishback. He had a ton of energy and was ready to go talking about everything that was going on there. And we've got a lot coming your way here in your Survivor week with Bradley Kleige coming into the studio for this week's recap. And then I'll talk to Shannon Gates on our feedback show, plus the Wiggle Room and this week in Survivor history, where Paul Osselson is going to join us. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. RobHasTheWebsite.com/iTunes. We appreciate you subscribing here at the start of the season, and your star ratings and comments are also very much appreciated. Before we get to Molly, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Sharper Image, who bring you the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket. Now, if you ever haven't played around with any weighted blankets, what they are is that it's exactly what it sounds like. It is a heavy blanket that is designed to mimic the soothing feeling of being hugged for less stress and a restful night's sleep. Boy, you could really use one of these out on Survivor. The first lady of podcasting, my lovely wife, Nicole, she swears by the Calming Comfort weighted blanket. And now with there being a little bit of a chill in the autumn air, it's weighted blanket season, folks. That the weighted blanket is exactly what you want on those cold, crisp nights. Get underneath that weighted blanket. You're going to sleep like a baby. The Calming Comfort weighted blanket applies an even amount of pressure over your body to help the production of serotonin and melatonin, simulating deep touch pressure stimulation. And you could take your relaxation to the next level, sleep better, feel great, and have less stress. They've got weighted blankets that are 15, 20, and 25 pounds. Ideally, what you want is 7 to 12% of your body weight. And we've got a great offer for you. The Calming Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, for our listeners, you can go to calmingcomfortblanket.com, use promo code Rob at checkout, and get $15 off the displayed price. You don't need to haggle or negotiate with Boston Rob. You're already getting the best deal, $15 off the displayed price. Again, that's at calmingcomfortblanket.com. Promo code Rob. And because you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, go online now at calmingcomfortblanket.com and use promo code Rob for your special discount today. All right. I see that we have Molly on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Molly, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rob?
Yeah, doing
so exciting.
Yeah, well, it's always exciting for me too. And I thought that was a wild episode last night. I'm sorry that it didn't work out in your favor, but I'd love to hear more about what was going on at the Vokai tribe. And I know that Jeff Probst talked about you as somebody that you have whiteboards of Survivor, and you're a huge fan of the show. So where did everything go wrong in your calculations?
So I knew going into the show that I was going to be perceived as a threat. And my goal at the beginning was to kind of stay under the radar, get to know everybody, not seem too strategic because I knew I'd already be a social threat. So I kind of wanted to surround myself with everyone else who was threats, let other people kind of both make decisions and blow up their own spots so that I would kind of be okay at first. And then get my foot in with who I wanted to play with for the long run, which obviously didn't pan out.
Did the tribe have you pegged in terms of you got the dreaded Parvati 2.0, you've got all the guys wrapped around your finger? When you were out there, were you saying like, boy, really got all these guys wrapped around my finger? Or did they just totally read the situation wrong?
No, of course I didn't think I had all the guys wrapped around my finger. It was so crazy to me hearing that only after I got out that was really the reason. I know that I think throughout the casting process, I did identify with Parvati. I identified with her when she was on the show. I think they were both really confident and kind of are unfazed by people who can be negative around us. And I think we bring a similar aura to the game, mm-hmm. but I did not anticipate that. It was so funny reading Josh Wigler's Hollywood Reporter interviews with, like, I guess Tommy, Jason, and Lauren all said from pregame that they thought I was like Parvati, which was shocking to me.
It's a compliment.
It is a compliment. I'm super flattered. I get it. I just feel, I think this was an interesting cast. I think it's a phenomenal cast, but I was like, where is the like hot 20-year-old woman? Like, why am I the one who's like seen smiling everywhere? There should be someone else in the movie. But that is how it went. And I am flattered. I was happy with how I was presented and how I went out. I feel like I was really true to myself.
Molly, if you play again, you have to be less charming.
I didn't think I was being charming.
Yeah.
I was being myself.
I can give you some tips on how to be less charming and have people not be charmed by you if you ever play again. I want to know.
Excellent.
When you watched the episode last night, what were some things mm-hmm. that you saw that really surprised you, if anything?
I think I was so built into like worst case scenario. This is going to be a total disaster. I am so embarrassed. And I've been really like holding this in for the past 6 months. And the second the episode started with that kind of morning argument between that morning snap at me from mm-hmm. Nora, I was instantly relieved and felt so liberated that this was how they were showing it. That it was out and starting and everyone would know. So I don't know if I wasn't super surprised by anything. I guess the amount of attention that was put onto me, Jamal, and Jack was surprising to me, because I think, especially from Jack's perspective, we weren't like this like power threesome that was always hanging out by any means. We were hanging out in a large group. And I think what largely bonded us and what made everyone else from the tribe notice us and group us together was more of our attitudes than our actions, because all three of us did feel comfortable and we were getting along with everyone on the tribe and we were happy and having probably more social conversations and get to know you conversations than strategic conversations out there. And I think that's kind of what grouped us all and was perceived as this like inflated sense of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a little surprising, because the majority of my memories from those 6 days were as a group. Mm-hmm. And I think that wasn't shown quite as much.
At the tribal council that you were asked about, or you had the opportunity to respond to Jason's comments about how that he felt like that he was sort of ostracized from the group. And you said that you were offended by those remarks and that wasn't mm-hmm. how you saw the situation. Was that actually how you felt, or were you just trying to diffuse the situation in terms of Jason getting off the hook?
I think offended was accurate. I was offended because one of the things that it didn't show is that I was pretty close with Jason out there. I liked him. He gives off the lawyer vibes. Like he lied about his profession, but I didn't buy it. And he was someone who I did want to work with. I think Jason and I were probably of everyone on the tribe the most similar in just kind of our like general attitudes and feelings about Survivor. So I liked Jason. I did approach him and I talked to him a lot, which wasn't shown. And then he told me in advance to Tribal that he was planning on doing this idol strip thing at Tribal to get the target off of him. And I was like, that's really dumb, Jason. Are you doing that for television? Because that's stupid. And I don't like it when people do things for television.
Me neither.
I think it's annoying. So I think I was both offended, like that he would sit there and say like, I've been in purgatory, because he wasn't. He was in good graces, especially now knowing that he was very aware that he wasn't going home, that I was, like, he wasn't in purgatory. And he did have an initial, like, he was looking for an idol. Everyone noticed, no one liked it, but that was about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of freaked out. And then by day two, he handled it like a freaking champ and walked around with his tail between his legs and apologized to every single person, and didn't just apologize, but had one-on-one, like, hey, like, let's get to know each other conversations with everyone. And I think that set the tone for days 3 through 6 a lot more than him in purgatory.
Molly, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to live with Nora on the beach?
It was exactly like it seemed on television. How do you think it seemed?
It seemed like it was an adventure a minute.
Yes, I think that's accurate. I honestly had no personal issue with her. We didn't have any specific conflict other than that morning when we woke up after it had been raining all night, and I did sleep during the night, as did the other 7 or 8 people other than Nora, and I think Janet didn't sleep very much. And then when she was speaking to me about that, I was just like, I was sleeping. I'm sorry that you were up all night working, but it was nighttime. And I think for me, living with her was trying, because I'm a very like rational, calm person. Like, I don't like to cause problems where there are none. And that's kind of what I felt she did quite often out there. And that was something that made me think she would be a liability moving forward, because you wouldn't be able to predict what she would be doing in the case of a tribe swap or a merge. And then also just someone who I didn't personally want to live with. Like, she causing a problem on camp when there isn't any. Like, I don't understand. To me, it's like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just like sit around and have fun and do your work and get to know each other?
There ended up being, I think, 7 votes in total that went against you at that tribal council. Who were some of the people that you felt the most betrayed by going in?
So first thing, when I got out, I think this also goes to show that I didn't feel specifically close with Jack and Jamal out there. Like, I had no idea who didn't vote for me. I honestly still thought that they didn't tell Nora about the vote because she wouldn't be trustworthy with the information. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had truly no idea. But definitely the two people who I was most hurt by, and then most thinking like, wow, this is my fault and I should have reinforce these relationships more, were Kelly and Janet, because I had good conversations with both of them and out there for multiple days. And I think, and I, in my head, truly did want to work with them and knew that Jack and Jamal wanted to work with them. And I thought we were good. I think if I had sat down with them and really solidified, like, hey, I actually really want to be you guys, we could be really a really powerful group of like rational, a little bit less emotional women, I think that could have been compelling for them. I also think it would have been to their advantage.
Do you think that any of the nap talk contributed to the target that was on the threesome of you, Jack, and Jamal?
The nap talk? Oh, when Jamal said we're gonna nap?
Mm-hmm.
I never napped. I don't think so. I'm not sure. That was, from what I remember of the episode, that was just the three of us talking. So I don't know if other people heard it, mm-hmm. but I think our generally relaxed attitude, because we were not paranoid or worried, came off to everyone else as a lot more complacent than we actually felt. Like, I think we just felt kind of trustworthy, and that the people we had been talking to, we felt, I don't know, we trusted the people who we were talking to, that they were going to, that they were kind of playing the similar game we wanted to, where they wanted to play with people who they got along with, because we did feel like we got along with everyone. I can tell you how I spent the last few hours before tribal, and it was Janet and Lauren and Jamal and Nora and I all went out and went, like, we were like on the raft in the water, and Janet and I saw a shark, and it was like the scary kind of shark that kind of, I could see Janet getting scared. So then I got scared.
Wow.
But it was really cool. And it was a really cool, fun final moment.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just me relaxing. It was everyone, mm-hmm. because I think they were so worried about keeping me at bay, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I think the nap was taken out of context to show Jamal snoring.
Okay. So did you have any suspicions about what Kelly had to say when she came back from the Island of the Idols?
I did not think she had an idol mm-hmm. at all. I was thrown by her crying, because she was crying. You didn't see it for too long there, but it ended up being, it was kind of long. Like, we were all sitting there and she was crying and saying how much she was sad about being away from us and how it was like really nerve wracking and all these things. And I didn't really identify with that. And I think I was kind of hung up on the fact, kind of similar to Jason's fake idol strip search, that is she fake crying? How do I feel about this? Like, what's happening? But I thought she was lying about what happened out there, but I did not think she had an idol.
Okay. Molly, as somebody who studied the game, what's the thing that our listeners who one day see themselves playing this game, well, what's something that you could not have accounted for ahead of time as somebody who was trying to learn everything they could about the game?
So my two pieces of advice that I wish someone gave me and that I would tell myself next time would be, one, ask every person who you love in your life, like, why would people want to get rid of you? Because I think one of the things is that I didn't realize that I don't think of myself as like a particularly charming person in any way. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't anticipating being seen as like such a social threat right off the bat. So I think that's something that then when I got home, all my friends and family were like, Molly, obviously that's why people want to get rid of you. Like, duh. So I think be ready to hear things about yourself and just ask, like, hey, what's wrong with me? And
okay.
Why would people want to get rid of me? And the second piece is you need to always think you're getting voted out. And you need to always be thinking, why would everyone want, is similar vein to the first piece. Like, why would everyone want to get rid of me? Mm-hmm. At all times.
Okay.
Because in my mind, I was like, why would they want to get rid of me? I'm pleasant. I did do work around camp. I was, I think, an asset in the challenges and certainly stepped up. So in my mind, there was no reason to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I was thinking, I was doing like the thinking bias of where you're thinking, it's easy to think about what you would like to hear.
All right, Molly, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're out of the game, but if it's any consolation, the gif of you with the clam will probably live forever.
Yep. No, honestly, I was like so sad about this for a while, and now I feel like a woman unburdened with this
okay.
being completely out, and it's well, great.
Happy
so,
you're feeling better. I know you got to run, so yeah. Thanks again, Molly.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it, Molly Byman. I thought that she brought up some really interesting things there at the end, and something that I've really tried to think about a lot over the last couple of years in terms of that I think that some of the best things you can do on Survivor is to be imperfect, to have flaws, and not necessarily focus on the things that are, you know, your assets, but I think that wearing your imperfections, I think is something that really helps you in the game of Survivor. So somebody who has no imperfections, Mr. Bradley Kleige, is going to be coming out here in a little bit. We're going to talk with him. If you want to get questions in for that show this afternoon on Thursday, you can email them in, survivor@robisawebsite.com. I'll also check the voicemail as well for our show with Shannon Gates. And of course, we'll hear from you guys as well in the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Of course, that all of this is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We've got a great offer right now for people who come on board as a patron. We've got our brand new RHAP pop socket that we're sending out to patrons who become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast between now and October 8th. So go ahead and you can get that RHAP pop socket on your phone. Check that out. That's a really fun thing that we're sending out right now. And of course, that even when we're not sending out pop sockets, the RHAP patrons are people that are connected to this wild community that we've built here around these shows that we all love. Find out more at robhasawebsite.com/ patron. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Exit Interview Podcast. I'll be back with Bradley coming up next. Really looking forward to that one. Thanks for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.